escalated. The more I said it, the more I said it. Then the fear started to, the images started to die down, 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 disappear. And I've learned that that's the way I deal with my fears and anger. Whenever I can possibly be sane enough to do it, I immediately just start repeating the truth to myself. And that is enough. That is enough. That's what you do. When you're by yourself, you tell yourself the truth. Because all you are experiencing is a defense against the love and the power that you're discovering in yourself. And so a part of you gets scared, and then it wants to use the fear to block the next level for you. You know, that's that self-sabotage thing that we love to do. You know, get right on top of it. And then, okay, let me do something to make myself think I'm not worthy. That's what it's saying right here, is that that's why we have to have a healing instant. And the healing instant is every instant that we're with each other, that we're suspending judgment of each other. So it isn't about the right or wrong, or whatever was making you feel guilty, fearful, and alone. It's like, the thing that I'm using to make me feel this way, is it helpful? You know, it's like, whatever I'm using to make me feel bad, you know, is that really its purpose? So, this next paragraph gets even more deeply into how you have healing and happiness now. It says, the past is the ego's chief learning device, because it's in the past that you learn to define your own needs. And in the past, you learned and acquired methods for meeting your own needs on your own terms. So the Course says, what all of us learned in the past was, we all learned to define our own needs. Agreed? Every one of us. Every one of us, we define our needs. We say what we need. And he says, right behind them, defining your needs, you also work on coming up with methods to acquire what you think you need. So people are making up needs and thinking of ways to fulfill them. We learn how to make up needs and then spend our time trying to fulfill them. And the funny thing about the needs that we make up is that they're usually false needs. They absolutely have nothing to do with survival whatsoever. If you never wear Prada, you won't die. But there are people who believe if they don't have Prada, they're going to give themselves a lot of conflict. So they make up a need, Prada, and then they got to acquire a method for coming up with the money to buy the expensive Joker, too. So the Course says that's what most people are unhappy about. They are unhappy about needs that they defined in the past that they're trying to acquire methods for meeting them. And then they hold grievances against other people who don't seem to help them meet their false needs. So he says, in the past, that was our fearful mind's chief learning device, because it was in the past that we learned to define our own needs and acquired methods for meeting them. How? On your own terms. I'm trying to meet my needs my way. I admit that. I define my needs, I try to acquire methods for meeting my needs, and I try to do it my way. I will admit that to the universe. I define my needs, I try to come up with ways to meet my needs in my own way. That is true. Thank you very much. He says, we've said that to limit love to part of the sonship is to bring guilt into your relationships and to make your relationships unreal. To limit your love to part is to bring guilt into your relationships and make them unreal. If you seek to separate out certain aspects of totality and then look to them to meet your imagined needs, you are attempting to use separation to save you. I'm going to separate you out, and you're going to meet the imagined need that I defined. The method I've come up with for meeting my need is you. So now I'm about to separate you out to meet my need that I made up. And that's what I call going out on Friday night to the bar. I'm finna see if I can find somebody to meet my imagined need tonight. You have to be so deep. You have to be so deep in denial that you deny that is ridiculous. Right?
Yes.
you know, I define what's going to give me a good time. I try to come up with ways to get that good time. And then I try to separate something or somebody out to give me that good time. Okay? So don't feel guilty when you hear what we're doing, because that's the key to getting to the love, is being able to recognize the fear. That's why this part of the course that I'm about to go through right now will require a commitment on your part, because everything in you is probably going to want to never come back here again as we go through this section. I guarantee you, I've done this 25 years, trust me. Nothing messes with people more than their special relationship stuff. And that's not just lovers. That's any relationship that you single out as a special relationship. So people think these special relationship stuff doesn't apply to them because I'm not in a relationship. You're in a relationship with your car, your dog, your house, your clothes, your everything. You got a special relationship with anything that you put before your peace. That's your special relationship. If you want to just narrow it down, it's anything in this world, if you don't have it, you upset. That's your special relationship. Because you know why? Because it's more important than my peace. And nothing should be more important than my peace. So anything that's more important than my peace is my idol. That's my false idea of happiness. That's what an idol is. Because it would have to be a false idea of happiness if it was not happiness you could have right now. Because anything that's real is presently available. You never have to go into the future for what's real. If I prayed to God that I'd be sitting in a chair in a room, I would have the fulfillment of my wish instantly, because I'd be asking for what I already have. And if I ask for what I already have, there's no way I can be disappointed. I would really love to be sitting in this chair talking to you about the Course in Miracles and loving it every minute of it. Wow, my wish is fulfilled. You follow me? If you were to go, what I wanted in this moment is to experience this group the way I'm experiencing where I am, to have this opportunity to love, then whoop, all of a sudden you're claiming your power, because you're having the fulfillment of what you've asked for. And so it gets you in the habit of actually having what you want. Wouldn't that be nice training?
That's cool.
Wouldn't that be some cool training? So I'll say it again. To limit your love to some of us is to bring guilt into your relationships and make them unreal. If you separate out certain aspects of everything and look to them to meet your imagined needs, you are tempted to use separation to save you. How then could guilt not enter? Because separation is the source of guilt. So to appeal to separation for salvation is to believe you are alone. To be alone is to be guilty. To be alone is to be guilty. That's an interesting statement. To be alone is to be guilty. For to experience yourself as alone is to deny the oneness of the Father and His Son, and thus to attack reality. Every time I say I'm alone, I feel guilty, because I'm denying my oneness with my Creator and everything. And since that's a lie that I'm telling myself, I feel guilty. So to be alone is to feel guilty, because every time we say we're alone, or we have to do it on our own, or we don't have help, we are denying our oneness with God. And so we feel guilty about it. That's why people feel guilty when they're alone, because they know they are denying the love that is real in their life. And every time you betray yourself, you feel guilty. So guilt is really the feeling that you have when you're betraying yourself. Guilt is the feeling that you have when you're betraying yourself. Guilt is the feeling that you have when you're betraying yourself, because you've forgotten about your innocence and your oneness with God, the Creator, love. So to be alone is to feel guilty. So whenever I feel like I'm alone, I'm attacking the truth. And that's why I feel guilty, because the truth is I'm never alone. The truth is you're never alone. The truth is you're never without support. The truth is you're never without love. The truth is you're never without help. That's the truth. That's the truth. And every time you tell yourself anything other than that, you feel guilty because you're denying the oneness and the truth. So I think I feel guilty because I ate that extra cookie. But I'm feeling guilty because I forgot my innocence.